You're listening to the Power Gold Podcast, bringing you the latest tips, tricks, and strategies for making gold in World of Warcraft. I'm your host, Jim Youngkin. And now, on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Power Word Gold Podcast, episode number 100. It's 100, Fade. One.
Excellent. You made it.
100.
Slowly but surely there at the end.
It only took me 5 years to get to what a normal podcast would have got. Actually, yeah, I would have got to in 2 years if they had recorded every week. But it's okay. 100. We're really excited. So, welcome, everybody, to the podcast. I'm Jim Youngkin from Power Word Gold. .net. And with us, joining us is one of our favorite guests to have on the podcast, Fade. So, hello, Fade.
Hello.
And you recently came back to the game.
I did, just 5 days ago, I think. It's been pretty new. I was gone for exactly 2 years, the customer service rep told me. When he looked up the last time I'd logged in, he said, oh, it's today, 2 years
wow.
ago.
It's like, you know, a hibernating animal or something. It's like you're kicking right at the exact date.
It is time. I reawaken.
So, yeah, if you want to find more from me, you can find at powerwordgold.net. There's links to Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. And also, we've started doing a few streams on Facebook, so that's Facebook. So, Fade, I know you had told me you were... I saw that you had put up a new video. What are some ways people can find stuff from you?
Yeah, so I used to write a blog, which was called Clockwork Riot, but I didn't renew the domain, so you can't just go to the old URL. It still technically exists, but I'm not going to put up any new posts, so no worries about that. But I probably am going to make some more videos and maybe even stream a bit now that I have better internet. But so in order to know what I've been doing or what I'm about to do, I'd probably say just follow me on Twitter. Let me go remind myself what my Twitter handle is.
Go Clockwork Riot. Yeah.
I'd go Clockwork Riot. I should probably take off the old blog URL there. I just noticed that's there.
You can
there.
Put your YouTube channel there now.
Yeah, I'm going to. And that YouTube channel is also Go Clockwork Riot. Look mm-hmm. at me being all prepared to record this.
Of course. It's not like somebody just randomly asked you, like, at the, not really spur of the moment, but, you know, so.
Yes, so I just looked up, yes, my YouTube is also Go Clockwork Riot. Okay. And so I think my Twitch is Fadetastic or something like that. But don't worry about mm-hmm. that. As long as you follow me on Twitter, I'll post anything mm-hmm. else I do there. And the YouTube is Go Clockwork Riot.
So. Awesome. All right. Well, this is, like I said, episode number 100. We had episode number 99 not that long ago. So people that had to wait for a year between episode 98 and 99, you haven't had to wait a year for this episode, which is good. Because, let me see. Let's just jump right into it a little bit here. Talk a little bit about what's been going on for me since the last show. Oh my gosh. Should we tell the story? Should I tell the story, April, about your computer? Oh, she's had headphones on. So basically, since the last podcast, I think I was probably playing on a Mac Mini. Since then, I've brought my gaming PC downstairs, and we ended up... this is a funny story. I'll tell it. I'll try to make it quick. So, my wife had a gaming PC. She was using a slightly older Mac to game on, but WoW was not really doing so good on it. So, but she had a gaming PC, but it had broken, and we had ended up chucking it, but we had kept some of the parts, because she's like, oh, I spent a lot of money on this graphics card, so we had, like, the graphics card, so... I'm, like, going online. I'm like, oh, this is a guide for building a gaming PC that's decent. It's, like, $250. It's, like, pretty cheap. But I'm like, but then we still need Windows. And so that's $120. And I was looking on these guides for how to find Windows, like, cheap. And one of the guides was like, well, one of the real cheapest ways to get Windows is to buy a refurbished PC. Like, Newegg has a lot of, you know, refurbished PCs for pretty cheap. So I go on and find this Dell refurbished. It had like 8 gigs of memory, 500 gig hard drive, and it was like $120 and it included Windows 7. So I'm like, okay, worst case scenario, we buy this computer and it's a piece of junk, but we use the Windows key on it. So for, you know, if we end up building her new gaming computer funny thing is, it turns out that the gaming, it's not a gaming PC, it's like a Dell Optiplex, like, piece of crap, like, business computer, but, and it had this, like, let's see, hold on one second, there we go, I tried plugging in her graphics card, but the case was too small for the graphics card, like, that you couldn't put the case back on if you put the graphics card in, plus, it didn't have power, so I'm like, I'm like, you know what, I'm going to bring my gaming PC up, I'm going to open up my case, I'm going to unplug my hard drive, take the power from my gaming PC into the video card power, even though it's sticking out of the top of her computer, turn it on, oh wow, it works. So, we ended up spending $120 on this PC, putting her like $200 graphics card in it, plus we just ended up buying a power supply from Best Buy. It's just sitting on the shelf, plugged into her video card, and the back is off, or like the top is off, I guess. It's a side, I guess. Anyways, long story short, she's now getting really nice FPS on like this $119 Dell. We got at Newegg for $120, plus the $200 card, plus I guess the power supply is $45 or something like that. So that's just kind of funny. So anyways, me and April now have PCs that are running WoW at decent frame rates, which is nice. And hey, maybe someday we'll actually spend the money and build her the parts, and or actually even just get a case for this and gut this computer and stick it into another case. But for now, this works. So that's what's going on. And the launch happened since last time we recorded. A funny story about that is I actually ordered some physical editions for us, but then the only place I could buy them, I bought them like the day it was launching, so the only place I could buy them at that point was GameStop, and it took like a week to get our games. So we're like sitting here playing like low-level characters and trying to pretend that like the game hadn't launched and not looking at spoilers and just not paying attention and pretending, and so, but luckily we got her computer running, and now we're both I'm a little bit sick. Now we're both playing the game. So the game came out. And actually, I do have one more physical edition that I didn't actually open. So if there's anybody out there who is looking for a physical edition, you can send me an email to powerwordgold@yahoo.com. And I'll probably be looking to sell that. The prices on those are actually pretty decent. They're like $200 on eBay. So...
Oh, so it's like the collector's edition?
The collector's edition, okay. Physical collector's edition.
I was
going
to say, why wouldn't they just go to the store and pick one up? Okay, collector's edition.
No, sorry, the one with the box and the art book and the mm-hmm. all the fancy stuff, because you can't actually buy it anywhere now. It's all sold mm-hmm. out, so I have a physical edition. I ended up saying, you know what, I'm just going to hold on, because we used to always get two collector's edition physicals, and then we decided, well, we don't really need two, so let's just get one and one digital, but... I think Blizzard purposely only puts out a small amount of physical because they really don't want you to buy the physical, because my guess is that the physical probably has $20 worth of stuff in it, physical mm-hmm. stuff, whereas the digital collectors, and it sells for $90, and the physical collectors, or the digital, doesn't have anything. They don't mm-hmm. have to spend any money on it, so... Alright, so that's kind of me, and I'm up to speed, at least as far as playing Legion. Faye, do you want to go ahead and talk a little bit about what you've been up, if you want to, what you've been up to for the last couple of years, what brought you back into the game, what your kind of experience getting it back in, like, the mechanics of it, and then we can go into experience of playing in a little bit.
Sure. I'll try and make sure that it's mostly the positive and upside things of the last 2 years. So first off, for people who haven't really heard me talk about this much, I basically am that no life WoW addict that you see on South Park. And at the time that I quit WoW, my life was actually just really bad. I dropped out of school. I didn't have a job. I had no money, that kind of a thing. I mean, basically my only source of income was my blog, and obviously, and I, as successful as I am.
Those big blogging dollars.
Yeah, those big blogging 1 cent for every video view I got, if I was lucky. So obviously that wasn't paying the bills, and so just in a generally bad place in my life, and so I was playing WoW like 20 hours a day. And so I decided a lot of things happened at once that kind of made me, I was like, you know what, this isn't the life for me. So I decided that one of the ways to fix it was going to be to go back to school. In order to go back to school and focus on that, I needed to quit WoW. And so all of these changes happened around the same time. Also, I should I don't think I really said this before, and I don't think a lot of people knew this about me, but and because I know that people are mean on the internet, but I actually used to be morbidly obese as well. So I also wanted to turn that around as well. And so in my attempts to turn all of this stuff around, I went back to school. I ended up changing my major to nutrition. I lost 50% of my total body weight. So I went from 240 pounds to 115 pounds. I finished my degree. I did research. I've got, you know, published papers. So
hit the gym,
I went to Japan.
Hired a lawyer.
Yeah, exactly. I went to Japan.
Deleted Facebook.
It was like,
oh, wow.
I had all these really great like experiences, and my life just got amazing. And so I graduated last April, and I need to go to a master's program, and I won't be able to do that for a year. Mm. So right now I'm just kind of kicking rocks for a year, trying to find a decent job for this interim time. But without that master's degree, my undergraduate isn't super useful. And so I'm kind of sitting here in the job hunt. I've moved to Arizona, and I'm hunting for a good job. And in the meantime, I had all this time to kill. And Legion, I was hearing people talk about Legion, and so I looked into it, and everyone's like, yeah, this is so much better than Warlords of Draenor, you should try it out. And so I decided, all right, sure, I've got a lot of time to kill. Also, I was actually feeling kind of depressed because I had nothing to do for a year, and WoW always kind of helped me. I mean, it sounds like it didn't, but it somewhat soothes the, like, depressive feelings and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, yeah, I think now might be a decent time to try it out, but I'm not going to spend any money on it. That's what I promised myself. And so I contacted, but other than getting Legion, I mean, obviously. So I'd already owned Warlords of Draenor. And so I talked to customer service and I said, listen, I don't expect you to do this, but I would really appreciate it if I could just have a little bit of courtesy time to try and decide if I want to play or not. And the guy was really nice. He said, you know, he looked up when I'd last played and he said, well, it's been exactly 2 years. I see that last time you played, your subscription was going to run out in a week, and you never played for that week, so we'll just, quote-unquote, give you that week back.
Mm.
And I thought that was really cool. So I had this week. I did not own Legion yet, because I didn't want to spend any money at that point, because I didn't know if I was going to stay. But I was, you know, seeing the Warlords of Draenor content. I was talking to my guild members, and I noticed a lot of guild members who had left in, like, Cataclysm were back.
Mm.
And, you know, and they were all saying, man, I'm so glad I came back. Legion is so good. And so that really made me think, all right, you know, if it's getting these people to come back, it could probably get me to come back too. And so all the while I was leveling Fade through the Legion areas, and I was enjoying it, and I figured if I can make enough gold, I should also mention that someone may or may not have gotten rid of their gold in ways that violate the terms of service, but you can't prove anything. And so I was completely broke. And so I've said, if I can make enough gold to pay for my WoW time, you know, with a token, which at the time were 35,000 gold, then I'll buy Legion. And obviously, and I didn't have, you know, I had all level 90 characters. I had no idea anything about World of Draenor. I had no access to anything in Legion. So I'm like, this is actually kind of a fun little challenge for myself. Can I, with no knowledge of what's happened in the past 2 years and no relevant, you know, level relevant characters, make 35,000 gold in, you know, a week?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, I have bought Legion now, so you can guess how that went. And I'm sure we'll talk about that in a little bit in the future. But that's kind of where I've been for the last 2 years and why I've come back.
Wow, that's congratulations first off on everything that's gone on in your life. Graduating, like, everything, like, that's just awesome.
Yeah, it's basically like I'm the kind of person who's really all or nothing, and I took that all or nothing that I'd gone into WoW. Mm-hmm. You know, I moved it from the all to the nothing and took all that effort and put it into more what most of society would deem a more constructive hobby, which was school and such.
Mm-hmm.
And so that worked out really well for me. And then once school was gone, now I'm like, well, now what do I do? Oh, WoW's back. So
do you think that there's any chance that you'll get back to the place you were before, now that you're playing the game again? Or is basically things changed too much to go back to doing that?
Just a moment. My dog is, like, upset. Sorry about that. That's a really interesting question. It's one I've been thinking about a lot today. I don't want to make this a Debbie Downer podcast, so I don't want to get too much into it. I'm really on the fence about it. It's something I'm going to look into a lot more over the next few days, because already, and a lot of this is because the expansion's so new and I want to, you know, reach 110 so I can play with my friends and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I already feel this drive of, no, I can stay up for a few more hours, get another level. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to mine a little bit more to get a little bit more gold. And so I already feel myself kind of falling into those old bad habits. Mm-hmm. And so now I want to prove to myself that, you know, I can rein it in and that I can have this, like, healthy relationship with WoW, so to speak. I know that sounds goofy.
No.
But, you know, it's like I want to be able to play WoW because I really do enjoy it. I enjoy WoW. I enjoy that social experience with all my guild members and with people in the gold-making community and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I want to try and make sure it works, but at the end of the day, if I find out that I can't, then unfortunately I will have to say goodbye to WoW, but I'm going to try and make it happen.
Yeah, I asked that because I think probably, let's see, around the time, probably not that long after my daughter was born, which would have been like in December of 2013, and getting a new job and then, you know, moving in April to Utah and getting work and essentially having a relief off my shoulders of, like, full-time employment and all that kind of stuff. I also kind of have been less playing, you know, for the last couple of years. And I've, you know, I wrote a recent article about this that talked a little bit about motivation and stuff. But I kind of, I'm in that same boat as you, where, you know, I haven't really been turning on my computer, I haven't really been playing, and now, like, you know, I can see it, like, coming back into my life, like, the gaming PC's moved downstairs, the, you know, the hours in the game are, you know, increasing, and so I kind of, you know, am wanting to also have been thinking a lot about that, too. Like, I wrote in the article or the post I had written, like, you know, there we all have had time. Well, not all of us, maybe not all of us, but there, you know, plenty of us have had times where we've woken up and started playing at 8 o'clock in the morning and stopped playing at, you know, 2 o'clock in the night, or, you know, whatever. So 16 hour days. So, but I like you, I also realized that World of Warcraft had a really positive effect on my life in dealing with, you know, depression or other issues, or kind of helping me through things. And so while I wasn't playing, I was having these kind of daydreams of, like, I don't know why, for some reason, it's either Stranglethorn Vale or, like, the starting zone of Night Elves, which I never really played many Night Elves, but, like, just this idea of, like, going off into this place. And I've talked about this in the past, but with an MMO, like, in the real world, you don't really have control over much in your life if you really stop and think about it, and you don't actually get rewarded for much in life either, whereas in the game, you have basically control over almost everything, and if you make any sort of progress, you're rewarded, like, with levels, or with gold, or, you know, with knowledge or experience of, like, learning. So, yeah, but I also understand, you know, now, especially with me being in a slight different situation, you know, having two children and needing to raise children, and, you know, now I'm kind of understanding a little bit more where other people were in the past, like Eero Groth or other people who I've talked to more about this that have had kids, and trying to figure out that balance is going to be tricky, because kind of like you, like, I know now that I can live just fine without it, but I also want to have a healthy relationship with it, and so, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, one thing that I reflected on a lot, especially in the past few months, is that I'm incredibly introverted, and I get a lot of social anxiety and stuff, and that's why I like MMOs so much, mm-hmm. is because it is, you know, it is a social experience, but it's one that you can turn on and off whenever you want. If you want to talk to someone, if you want to play with someone, if you want to spend time with someone, log on and say, hey. If you're done, log off for the night, that sort of a thing. Mm-hmm. It's a really low pressure way to maintain some social ties without having to really, like, really be out there and be social a lot. Mm-hmm. And so, like, without WoW, I end up feeling really isolated. And so, and then that just makes me feel worse and worse. And so that's, like, kind of why I turned to WoW again, is I've just recently moved. So I know very few people where I live now. And so it was also a way, I mean, you know, I don't know anyone. I hadn't talked to anyone in days. And I log on and there's Fade. We knew you'd be back. Ha, ha, ha. You know, joking. And immediately, you know, I'm talking to people who were a huge part of my life for many years. People I know in real life, you know, who I'd, you know, flown out and met and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it's this wonderful social experience. And so I feel... I still feel kind of silly saying I want a healthy relationship with WoW, and I'm sure some people, like, giggle at that or roll their eyes, but that's kind of more of what I'm talking about. It's like, it's a game, and the game is kind of here or there. I love it, but mm-hmm. it's like, what I'm more or less talking about is, like, the role that MMOs play in my life, kind of a thing, yeah. is more like what I want to make sure that I want to keep them in my life, but only to a healthy extent, kind of a thing.
Yes, yes, yes. All right, so let's jump in a little bit here. Now that we can, my guess is that in the rest of the show, when we're talking about Legion, we'll probably have about 30% of the time will be dedicated to gold making, and 70% of the time will be dedicated to talking about the expansion itself. In my mind, at least, because I have a lot more thoughts and ideas about the expansion, at least what I've experienced so far. And the gold making side of it does come into it, especially thanks to you. But I thought maybe we could start off by talking a little bit about what we've done so far in the expansion, and our impressions of that experience, and potentially compared to other expansions or just in general. So do you want to maybe start by talking a little bit about what you've kind of done in the game, not necessarily gold making related, but kind of what you've been doing in the game so far since the expansion came out?
Yeah, and keep in mind that I literally played no Warlords of Draenor, so some of the stuff that I say, ooh, I love this new feature, you'll be like, that's been in for like a year and a half. It's like, it's still all new to me, so mm-hmm. I'm not 100%
sure. Well, but I mean, I think you're potentially one of the targets for this expansion, you know, with Blizzard, so...
For sure. So, I'd been around for about a week after launch, similar to you, not yet owning Legion. Mm-hmm. And so, I'd been hearing little, you know, stuff in guild chat, but not really understanding much about it. And one day I was like, okay, fine, I'm gonna upgrade to Legion. So I did the little starter scenario. It was kind of neat. I should also mention that I don't really read quests. I'm one of those terrible people who don't pay attention to the lore very much. Mm-hmm. So I won't really be commenting on the story.
Well, but they've done something to help that out, I've noticed. They have little people talking, like audio
talking.
Yeah, and
I play without sound. Oh. So I'm just like, you know what, Blizzard, get that story out of here.
You're like, you ain't getting no story in my head.
Well, the thing is, I love to make up my own stories about what's happening. Yeah. So it's like, and if they make no sense, it's like, oh, I'm just running through Ashara, and oh no, now I'm joining Hogwarts and stuff like that. So I guess, or as in not Ashara, mm-hmm. but anyway, so I was like, okay, well, and so I'm like, hey guys, what zone do I start in? And they're like, well, start in any zone. Everything mm-hmm. scales with you now. And I'm like, what is this madness? So I chose.
What is this Oblivion from 2004?
I chose Stormheim because, oh, something else that I did over the, I think I was starting it last time we talked, but something else that I did while I was away was I've been teaching myself Swedish. And so the kind of like the Viking like kind mm-hmm. of idea. And like for like, I think there's a quest where you like gather bear hearts and they're like, and it's like, it's actually the Swedish word or a bastardization of the Swedish word for bear heart is mm-hmm. the item that you have to, it's like the item you get from it as a reward. So that kind of stuff is what caused me to choose that zone. And of course I chose the one zone that has a scenario to start it. And when I leveled through Warlords of Draenor's content, I did it through like pet battles and stuff. So I was still wearing Missa Pandaria gear when I did this scenario. It took forever. Like, I was so bad at it. And I couldn't remember how to play, like, at all. Uh-huh. And most of my abilities had changed. They completely reset my talents. Most of my engineering perks were gone. So I was like, what do I do? I don't understand. And so I get through that scenario, and it was pretty tough. And then I loved, though, that once I actually started through it, the upgrades were coming, and, you know, the random little, this was randomly upgraded from a green to a blue when mm-hmm. you finished your quest. That was awesome. The quests were fairly linear and straightforward. It's not like, oh, now where do I go? They really guide you through it. Rare spawns, which aren't technically rare, but are still really plentiful, make you feel like there's, like, treasure out there for you to go find.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked Stormheim. I thought it was a beautiful zone. After that, I went to Esuna, and then now I am in the Torin one, High Mountain, that mm-hmm. one. The one where we've been gathering.
Yeah.
so that's where I'm questing now.
Uh-huh.
So I think we're probably going to talk a little bit about professions when we get into more gold-making talk, mm-hmm. so yeah. I'll kind of save it for then. But so from like a just general gameplay standpoint, I love the class halls. I've done the quest for the Rhett artifact, the Holy Paladin artifact, the Elemental Shaman artifact, and the Balanced Druid artifact. All of them were really great. Some of them made me cry. and that's as someone who doesn't really connect with the lore very well.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And not that it's out yet, but the next patch is going to bring us more Karazhan, which is a place near and dear to my heart. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people feel the same way. So I'm really excited about Legion. I've really enjoyed it. I don't think, other than the professions, which I'm sure I'll complain about later, I haven't really had any major complaints about mm-hmm. Legion. I think they've done a.
Oh.
Tall and thin and young and lovely, the girl from Ipanema goes walking.
Hello.
Hello. That was.
Yes. Hello.
I know. I'm so sad. That was just so dumb. Like Skype's just like, bleh, disk IO error, and I'm like, oh my gosh. Vader's just getting the good stuff. You're talking about the good stuff. Okay. So for those who are listening, we had little technical difficulties and Skype, I guess, decided to update and restart and disk IO error and everything. Okay. But we're good. I think we're good. Had to restart my computer, but we're good. Okay. You were talking basically about how you didn't think you really had many complaints about the expansion. And I don't really remember. Do you remember kind of what I think that's what you were talking about.
Yeah, I remember saying that, and I feel like we went off into something else, but I forgot what it was. But while we were disconnected, I do want to say, and I think this came out in Warlords of Draenor, but still, oh my gosh, getting all this bag space back mm-hmm. from Transmog and mm-hmm. the toy box. So yeah. For people who don't remember uh-huh. what I did with all my gold was I collected toys. So, like, I had so many toys in my bags. and so, like, oh my gosh, I have so much space now. They've just done so many great... Yeah. I know we were talking about this last night when mm-hmm. you were streaming, but yeah. It's like they've just done so many great quality of life improvements, the reagent yeah. bank, multi-tagging. They've really, like, taken a lot of the rough stuff out of the mm-hmm. game and just yeah. made it a lot more fun.
I'll never forget when I was playing in TBC, I liked mounts, which today would seem like, well, duh, you like have, but at the time you actually physically kept the mounts, like they mm-hmm. were in your bags, and I had mounts and I had pets, and I had like a whole one or two bag tabs in my bank of just pets, but unfortunately I also liked collecting guns, and so I basically kept every gun I ever got in TBC, and I was running out of bag space. I just didn't have any more space, and I had like a ritual where I like took guns in my bags, and I went to Nagrand and I sat on like a floating like island in Nagrand and destroyed my guns, like ritually destroyed my guns, thinking how sad it was. And I kept the ones I wanted, but it's just so sad to think about all those guns that I had. But luckily, if they were a quest item, I have them back. But you know, all those guns I had that I just destroyed because I just had to make room somewhere. So yes, I was I'll go into the bag space a little bit when I get into my Legion stuff, but yeah, they've done a lot of good stuff.
Yep.
So anything else you want to talk about that's about Legion, necessarily not gold making related, before I go into what I've been up to?
I don't think so. I think that's pretty much my summary. It's been a lot of fun so far.
So, I think I might have mentioned this before, but when I came back into the game, it was like a month before the expansion, I thought, well, I'll try this. I think I might have talked about this on the last podcast, but essentially, I'll try this. And the first like week was just getting into all my characters, just collecting, making sure I have all my transmog looks, destroying a bunch of stuff, selling a bunch of stuff, and just making all the bag space and all the bank space, and it was so glorious. But what before the launch, or actually I guess after it launched, but while I still didn't have it, I decided, and this was true in, not really in TBC, I had maybe 3 or 4 max level characters, but with Wrath of Lich King I ended up having, I left in the middle of the expansion, so right before Old War came out I left the game, and then I came back in right when Lich King had been out for a while, so there wasn't really much for me to do towards the end of the expansion, so I leveled up one of every class to max level, so I had one of every class leveled up at the end of that expansion, which then rolled into Cataclysm, where I played a few characters, but then eventually got a lot of those characters up to max level, and then what I did at the end of Wrath of Lich, or sorry, too many expansions, what I did at the end of Warlords was to level one of every class to 100. But I kind of overshot because with the invasion XP was just super crazy, and I was getting people like from 84 to 100 in like a day or two by just doing invasions. Because you could essentially, and I found this out by accident, but like if you flew out of the invasion zone when you were on stage, final stage, and then waited like 2 seconds and flew back into the zone, it would start over at stage one. So you could basically just keep doing that over and over again and getting the 40,000 or 20,000. It was a little janky at first because they didn't have tagging quite down, but then eventually they made it so, you know, you got full credit even if multiple people were hitting. So I had, I think, 7 or 8 or 9 hundreds, and then with the invasion I ended up with 14 level 100s when Legion started, when I started playing Legion. One of every class plus 3 extra double classes, one hunter that was 100 extra, one paladin, and one warlock. But that was kind of neat because the neat thing about the Legion is that the first thing you pretty much do when you get in and start playing is you do your artifact quest, and you I've essentially done artifact quests on all my characters that are 100 now, so I've done it like 14 times, well actually plus Demon Hunter, so 15 different artifacts I've done, including, you know, 2 Paladin, 2 Warlock, and 2 Hunter, well, actually, yeah, 2 Hunter, well, we'll get into that in just a second. I have 3 Hunters now that are level 100, because I had a Hunter boost, but anyways, yeah, I really like the artifact quests. I found out there's a couple duplicate ones, which they're not exactly duplicates, but there's a couple that are very similar where you kind of do go and do the same thing. But overall, I like the you know, going and doing. They're really well done, I think. Well, some are better than others, but overall the quality of the artifact quest is pretty high.
I felt the same way. Even just the few that I've done, it's like there are ones that you can tell they were more motivated by the story than than on other ones where they were like, oh shoot, we need to make an artifact for this spec. Let's come up with something.
The artifacts themselves, like, are that way too.
Because when you think about the Ashbringer, like, of course that was going to have a very lore intensive story that meant a lot. And then
here's a survival hunter, some spear from some high mountain guy, and there was a guy attacking our village, so we killed it. So here, go get this, you know. So, but overall, so in past expansions, well, in the last expansion in Warlords of Draenor, what I would do is get my characters up to having garrisons. Like, I think it would probably mostly be garrison level 2s. So I had a lot, because that's really when you could kind of do anything with it, although I didn't do a ton. Honestly, I did more doing the daily quests in the garrisons, and I almost never actually used any of the mats for anything. I never made anything. I was kind of a terrible gold maker in Warlords.
Me too. I didn't make a single gold during Warlords of Draenor.
So basically, there's sometimes a few things I'll do that kind of short circuit, but instead of, say, taking one character all the way to max level, I'll kind of do a lot of other things, kind of. And this time, artifact quests were a good enough amount of time. It was only about an hour, 45 minutes usually, of each character, and they got a cool weapon. And I would just leave them at their, like, class hall where it's like picking the map, like, where do you want to go? I'd just be like, okay, I'm done, log out. Yeah, so a few highlights, I think, for, and class halls, I feel like, are that way too, where some are better than others. The Paladin one is gorgeous and I love it so much.
I do as well. It's kind of funny, when I was doing the shaman one, I was, you know, talking to people and in my guild, and especially like one of our shamans and stuff, and then another, our guild leader, actually, he's like, you'll like yours, it's just a dank drippy cave, and I'm like, oh, sad. And then, like, it took me a while because I was also a very bad shaman. I finally get in there and I'm like, oh my god, it really is just a cave. It's a cave in the maelstrom. And yeah, like, compared to the other one I'd done is druid, which is just this gorgeous area.
I love,
but at the same time, it's the druid one, it's a pain in the ass to navigate, in my opinion, especially after coming from the paladin one. It's a t-shape, everything you want is in this t-shape. So
yeah, I've liked them. So far, the classes I've actually played at all, any beyond that, me and my wife did a warlock, and she's a mage up a little bit, and then I've been playing a hunter. So, funny story, I had been kind of, first I'd been trying to figure out which character I wanted to play in this expansion. And I've been, like, actually literally, like, laying on the couch and just sitting here thinking about it. Because with all the choices available, like, 14 different characters, some have historical value, some have been with me since vanilla, some are brand new, some are, you know, this and that. Turns out the one I didn't expect, which I had been trying to decide what to boost to 100, so I had gotten, like, a warrior prepared. And that was one which was pretty cool, where I made, like, 9,000 gold just leveling old school style, no heirlooms, you know, just questing and everything. I had that warrior ready. I had, you know, basically three different characters kind of in their 60s ready to go. But it turns out that I had kind of been kicking around this weird idea. In Warlords of Draenor, the first two characters I leveled were a hunter and a hunter. So, an alliance hunter, which is my main normally, and a blood elf hunter, just because blood elves are awesome. And I wanted to get, I think I ended up wanting to get the horde experience all the way through. So that's why I ended up leveling up that hunter. So I had two hunters, and I'm like, would I want to do three hunters? So it finally turns out that I ended up did end up spending my level 100 boost on a female dwarf hunter that I had. So now I have three hunters. But when you have all of every class plus a couple extras, so she's survival. My main hunter is beast mastery, which everybody and their mother apparently was beast mastery, and maybe it's just more obvious because of their blue wolves everywhere. And then my blood elf is a marksman hunter. And actually, funny enough, so I didn't even get into melee hunters, but they're a thing, apparently. I found this out.
And I noticed that there's a spec for rogue that has, like, skills that are range specific and
swashbuckler.
Stuff. I was like, what happened to this game?
I have my rogue is a swashbuckler, and her artifact quest is really fun because it's like you gotta get on a pirate ship and go to a pirate cave and stuff like that. So swashbuckler's fun. You don't have a lot of range. You can do some range, but you don't. Your DPS isn't really built around it too much. You can do a little bit. But the hunter spec is really melee. So, funny story, I had a melee hunter I'd leveled up to 75, literally with only melee. And he stopped leveling when they took away the ability to use melee weapon abilities. And then he started leveling again when the pre-patch came out that let you do this. So, but he's actually 78, but he's not one I've leveled. But anyway, so yeah, I have three hunters of three different specs, and I had this really weird experience where I was transmogging. So I have a dwarf hunter who's my main, who most people would know from like my Twitter bio and all that. Then I have a blood elf hunter who's just awesome blood elf, and she's a hunter. She's marksman, and then I had this dwarf hunter who turned out that I wanted to use her as survival. So I was transmogging her, and I was like going through like old weapons, melee weapons, and I started having this really heavy nostalgia moment because like I was flipping through like, and Legacy came up, which I don't know, anybody that was a hunter in TBC, Legacy was like the melee weapon you wanted to have. And melee weapons were just stat sticks, essentially. They were just sitting on your back. But I had that for so long, and I realized, like, when I was on her, I'm like, you know what? I should transmog her into this Legacy. And I'm like, and then it hit me, I'm like, oh my gosh, she is my main character's daughter. Crazy. So, like, this whole, like, you know, story formulated in an instant that he, you know, he's the dad, she's the daughter, she's picking up the mantle and being a hunter, but she's going to use his, she has his shoulders from TBC, like these, like, spiky, horn ones with, like, lightning coming out of them and stuff. So she's got his shoulders and his axe, although it's getting to the point where she's going to, she ended up switching back to the artifact look instead of, because actually, I didn't know this, but you can transmog your artifacts, so if you don't like the way your artifact looks.
Yeah, but it's, like, expensive. It's like 270 gold. Oh my God. I mean, when you come back with no gold, it's quite expensive.
I don't even look at the money at the bottom anymore, so apparently I wasted a lot of money on that. But anyway, so she's actually, yeah, so she's now my, she's... And now that I know that she's the daughter of my main character is more likely going to kind of have a retirement expansion. Not completely, but he's going to kind of be a little bit more on the back burner, kicking around in his garrison, you know, farting around. And while she kind of takes up the mantle of the hunter, dwarf hunterness. So these are the little odd things, like you mentioned, like that you kind of come up with in your head, your own little lores for your characters and stuff.
Yeah. I was actually talking about this in my guild chat just this morning, actually. I was like, does anyone else come up with weird personality traits for their character? Because I play on an RP server, but the joke is that no one RPs on Argendon. So, I don't really have a character for Fade. Mm-hmm. And yet, as I've been going through these various quests, I'm like, how does Fade feel about this? So I should also mention that in my 2 years away, I was playing a lot of Dungeons & Dragons. And actually, the last character I played was the Paladin, who kind of did, who was a little bit Fade-esque. Uh-huh. So that might be why. But anyway, so I've actually started coming up with these personality mm-hmm. traits and backstory as well. So yeah. Hearing that you do that as well, it's nice.
Well, and it's funny because I noticed when you started being able to do things like recruit a friend, or when they came out with these free level 80 boosts in Cataclysm, I started creating characters that had, like, they leveled up so fast that, like, they had no personality. Whereas my main characters had, you know, there's quite a few, a handful of characters I've had that kind of have stories, like, at least not stories, at least personalities, like, this one's the stoic one, this one's the greedy one, this one's the, you know, peaceful one, and all that kind of stuff. So that, yeah. So I have now my main character, which is also my boost. So,
and it's interesting. Like, I hadn't really thought about it until you were talking about choosing, you know, which hunter and stuff. But you, now that everything is so account wide, as you know, as far as transmog and mounts and pets and toys and everything, you really do have a lot more options as far as, oh, this expansion, I'm going to level this character first. Mm-hmm. And yet, I feel like most people still are, you know, this is my main. This is what mm-hmm. I play. And yeah. Like, Rhett, from what I understand and from what I've experienced, isn't that great right now. But I'm leveling it because mm-hmm. Fade is me. I am Fade, yeah. You know? And I have such nostalgia between her and my mage, who was my first main back in Burning Crusade. Her mm-hmm. name used to be Fade, but when she came over, she became named Rixon. But anyways, she, like, you... A lot of this, I was, you know, going back and taking stock and right-clicking on each one of my toys to add it in my toy box. And it's like, oh, I remember, oh, this Sylvanas' music box. This mm-hmm. was a gift from Wargallow when we finished his Shadowmourne. And he gave it to me because, you know, all of our tanks were female paladins. And I was the only one who didn't have a music box yet. He gave this to me. And Wargallow's still in guild chat and I can talk to him right now. It's like, he's like, so there's such nostalgia and connection mm-hmm. yeah. with a character. It's like, this was the character I was playing at this point. This is my main. For that reason,
yeah,
and so I think we get really attached to characters in that way.
Yeah, as far as for me, one of the things I've started. So in general, kind of my ideas and thoughts about the expansion, because I really didn't like. I played like a tiny little bit in Alpha, just for like a few hours in Demon Hunter, which I don't know, like, Demon Hunter, cool. I don't know why we have to take bad guys and turn them into classes, but I'm gonna stay on the positive side for now. Let me talk a little bit about the things that I've liked about the expansion so far. Artifact quests are cool. I don't really know the fact that everybody has the same weapon, and also I kind of get the feeling that artifact talent trees are a little bit like of this weird, we talked about this yesterday too, about this little bit, this weird kind of complicated thing. Like, I guess if you don't really care, you can just kind of go wherever you want, but people are going to kind of need to min-max and go to Icy Veins, and if you're that kind of person. But I don't know, I haven't tried it out really, so we'll have to wait and see on that. I think that the zone design is pretty much the best I've ever seen. It's kind of like all the greatest zones in World of Warcraft kind of perfected. I need to do this, but I think the Lost Isles were kind of the center part of the world when the world got shattered, and I think if you kind of stuck back the other continents around it, you could see like a connection of where that section of the area kind of got broken off. So, you know, there is multiple different zones. We were in High Mountain. Going up to the mining quest. So you have to kind of go up onto the top of this mountain and then go back down. And my wife was like, literally her knees were shaking, and she was getting like, because there was this really sheer mountains, and we were walking along them, and it's way better than any other conversion of WoW. Or, I mean, I've been in high places before, but like even like Storm Peaks or any of these other ones, there was never really this. I think it's because you don't have a flying mount. They have to kind of make everything so you can walk up it and go up it and go up and up. And, like, oh, it, like, makes you feel like you're going to fall. And some of the place in High Mountain, when you kind of walk down from one of the flight paths down, switchbacks to get down the mountain to the shore. And it's just gorgeous. The Blood Elf, the Night Elf area, it looks really great too. So I think that the world design has done really well. The quests I've done so far have been good. I've been trying to take some time to kind of read them. With some of the voiceover, it actually kind of helps you kind of know what's going on. So all in all, like, I'm having a really good experience. This expansion is nostalgic in a way that I don't think any, like, the only other quote-unquote nostalgic expansion was Cataclysm, because they kind of went back and redid all the world, but even then, like, the new zones didn't really feel like they kind of connected back to them, even though some of them were in, like, the old world. Whereas, especially with artifact quests, I guess you kind of get this feeling that, like, it's the first expansion that actually acknowledges any of the other expansions even happened. So, you know, we're going to Ulduar, or we're going to Deepholm, or we're going, you know, you're seeing these Cataclysm loading screen or Lich King loading screens. So at least at first, I think that they've been doing pretty good.
Mm-hmm. So. And, I mean, like I said, I chose Stormheim as my first zone on Fade, and of course Dalaran is our main city. And I'm like, you know what, the reason I love this so much is because I feel like I'm back in Wrath of the Lich King. Got the same starter city, Howling Fjord, as 2.0, and yeah. I'm fighting the Rykel again.
The sound effects in that zone sounded, foresty zone, I was just sitting there as I was doing something else, and I'm like, this sounds like Grizzly Hills. The music from Grizzly Hills sounds a lot like this. So, but I think that they've done the quote unquote nostalgia, like, in a good way. Like, they've done it in a good way. Now, I really like that you can pick different zones to start from. It gives you essentially four or five different places to start. Or you'll be playing through them all. I don't know. Depending on how many characters you level up, you will eventually be playing through them all.
Plus, there's going to eventually be an achievement similar to the Draenor one where you can unlock flying, and so you're going to want to do all those quests, because that'll be important.
Yeah, my wife is still, I think, working on that quest for before she got distracted from the expansion. I was doing it for Warlords of Draenor. I was yeah, I never really had much interest in it. So, but overall, I'm having a lot of fun just doing the starting stuff. I think that apparently they sold 3.3 million copies, which didn't sound like a lot, but apparently it's the same as the other two biggest first day sales that they've done. With this is something I didn't really notice, and you might not have noticed, but apparently, and that's because they didn't play a lot in Warlords of Draenor, but apparently there was like this massive like year-long drought of no content.
I'd heard that. I obviously I
like
didn't
after,
notice
it. And I think that there's been some articles about it, and even Blizzard has even said, you know, we wanted to do an expansion a year, so we were always kind of off onto the next thing, and in this case, we probably didn't give enough content in that, but because my guess is they were making this. So, you know, they were making this expansion.
If I recall correctly, though, we were in ICC for a year.
Yeah,
so
no,
that's not new.
No, you're right. And it's not the first time people have complained about that kind of thing. But
I was watching someone else do like a commentary video, and that's where I heard about it, because they're like, the expansion only just came out and we've already got the announcement for the Karazhan patch. It's like they're just throwing content at us.
But
now
I think for a lot of players, we're gonna like the proof is gonna be if it actually happens. Like if they kind of keep steady content coming out, I think what happened with Warlords was they kind of got out the expansion and a few things, and then as soon as that was out, they just were already on to the next, so they didn't ever go back. And, like, I think it was the only thing you ever really got after that was Tanan Jungle, and you're just grinding, like, rep quests, and that's where I think people were kind of, like, disappointed, so. But I don't know, me and my wife both have been really loving playing this, And I can start to see some of the Shadow of Garrison's coming back in now, because essentially your guild hall or your class hall is a garrison, essentially, with followers and quests.
Thank God
and
for the app. Now that I'm trying not to be so like tied to my computer for 16 hours a day, the new Legion app to do that, to do your class hall stuff on your phone. I love it.
Oh, I didn't even know that existed.
I'm actually on it right now. recruiting some squires for my next mission. So.
Well, that's cool. I mean, the offline progression thing was something that other MMOs had done, specifically EVE was kind of popularized. What was the one that popularized this kind of idea that you can kind of set things to train or go while you're not playing and you can still progress. But I never felt like that was kind of what I ended up the garrisons ended up being for me, but that's cool that, you know, if there's things like that'll work. So far so good with this expansion. Actually, so far so great. I've been really really been loving it. I like I said, I didn't learn anything about this too much. I just kind of like to wait and just when it comes out, just experience it all. So good job so far, Blizzard. You'll still get my 35,000 gold a month in subscription fees.
They got 70,000 gold from me this month because I just had to go check out what was on my second account. Spoiler alert, nothing. I'm not resubbing that account.
this is a little life hack. This is a little Blizzard tip for anybody who has a lot of old accounts. It used to be this was really useful, but if you now that they made starter edition versions, you actually can jump into almost any one of your old accounts and just see your characters, even though you can't really play any of them unless they're under 20. But one of the ways I used to do it was go to, like, transfer characters in the Blizzard website, and then that would allow you to bring up, like, which characters you had on what servers and stuff like that without having to actually log in. But when you didn't... It used to be that if you didn't have a subscription, you couldn't even see your characters too much or anything like that.
But you still couldn't see what was in their inventory,
no,
right?
No, okay. You can. Yeah. You could like, just see them and know, like, oh, yeah, I remember. Because, like, if I was going to restart an account, I'd be like, okay, which account do I have characters on? Now you can, in the Battle.net, you can switch to a different account and log in. But, yeah, you can't see what's in their thing. You can only see them.
Yeah, liquidate my major, like, bank tune. Mm-hmm. I logged on her because she just happened to be level 20. I'm like, yes, I just made it. And I log into her and I'm like, shoot, I can't see my guild bank. And if she has anything, it's going to be in there. So I was like, it's only 35,000 gold. Well, you know, I've been making bank recently. So how did you do that though?
Because that doesn't. I was wondering how that happened because.
Well, actually, I was just about to get into that. So I had this issue. All my gold is on, you know, my main account. Mm-hmm. I couldn't buy a token. So I actually opened a ticket and I explained to Blizzard. I'm like, I only need 5 minutes of time. Like, I'm not trying to, you know, get a whole bunch of free time or anything. My goal is to give you guys, you know, is to buy a token, which I know helps you guys out. Please just give me a small amount of time credit on this account so that I can log into it and I buy an actual month. Mm. And so that's what I did. Gotcha. And they gave me 2 days, which I thought was awesome. Okay. That's one thing that I do have to say, other than one issue where they gave me like a stock answer that wasn't relevant. Mm-hmm. I've talked to Blizzard for various issues 4 or 5 times. Most mm-hmm. of the issues were on my end. Some of them were quest problems. Mm-hmm. Every single encounter I've had, especially via the live web chat, they've done amazingly well. So mm-hmm. I've had a lot of really great experiences with Blizzard customer service this past week. So kudos to them on that too. But so I got 2 free days, so that allowed me to log in and see what they had. And it's kind of funny, I realized they didn't have anything I wanted, but I felt like, even though I knew Blizzard wasn't going to, like, get me in trouble or anything, I still felt obligated because I promised them I'd pay for a token. So I paid for a token.
I gotcha. So you didn't buy a new expansion, you just reactivated the account.
Well, it's a great follow-up question. So I wanted to boost another character because I had all these herbs, and I'm like, oh, I need a profession that uses herbalism. Mm-hmm. So, and I realized that I had a character who's both a scribe and an alchemist. So I'm like, this is a very useful character to boost. But a boost costs $65, uh-huh. and Legion only costs $50 if you don't get the deluxe edition. And I'm like, that is so ridiculous that something that includes the boost is cheaper. But okay, whatever.
How do you boost? Okay, so are you...
So, and what I'd realized from talking to the customer service rep beforehand is that if your BattleNet account gets a boost, you can use it on any client on that. Yeah.
Okay, I gotcha. Yeah.
So I bought Legion for the second account, even though I have no intention of playing mm-hmm. it, and I used the boost on my Alchemist to save $15. Turns out I really don't need that character. I'm not mm-hmm. going to do anything with it profession-wise for a while, so I kind of wish I'd done a different character like my mage, but whatever, lesson learned.
Okay, well that's good. That's a bunch of good information, so if I want to reactivate an account for gold, if I can figure out, if I can ask them to give me a day or two of game time to look over the account, that's good. And then if I get the boost, interesting, yes. Me and my wife had that experience where she boosted one of her characters to level 100, and then we realized that we probably should have just spent that money on the expansion, because it was like you said, it was like 60-something bucks for her to boost it, but it's all good. So, okay. Anything else that we want to talk about as far as the non-gold-making related expansion stuff?
Oh, I'll shoehorn this in since we're talking about boosting characters. For like the fact that when you get boosted, they make you run through that short scenario to teach you how to play your class. That was so useful, and I really wish that you could opt to do that with any character. Because coming back after 2 years, it's like I wanted that for Fade.
Do you think
that
it might work if you did a class trial? Have you looked in the class trials?
That's a good point. I'll try that out.
Because those are, I think there's a limit. I don't think there's a limited number of trials you can do, but there's like a limited, I don't know. I was hearing that there might be a limited overall play time of the trial. But yeah, like I learned that apparently Dire Beast shortens the cooldown of like Bestial Wrath. Who knew? I didn't know. And they only taught me like 4 spells, but I'm like, okay, I gotta make sure I hit Bestial Wrath first, then I use Dire Beast, and then that starts. I would have never known that, so yes.
Yep, so I thought that was a really cool thing, and I think that they should make that something that you could do any time if you just want, I've been gone for a few months and I don't remember how to play. Let mm-hmm. me go do my training for my class. I hope that they do that. Yeah. Anyways, yeah, let's move on to gold so that we're not here all week.
Okay, so gold making. Now, I think this mainly comes up because I've been playing, I've just been sitting back enjoying and playing and not really trying to worry too much about gold. However, you, luckily for us all, have been looking at trying to make ways to make gold. And there are people writing about it. The Gold Queen is writing about the expansion. But let's talk about making gold in the game. I've basically, let me see. The only way I was making some gold, well, no, go ahead. Let's talk about it. You talk about it.
Okay, so as we'll remember from what I already went over, I had a week of game time in which I had to earn 35,000 gold, but I didn't really have anything going for me regarding professions. I had none of my add-ons set up, anything of this sort. So I'm like, what the heck do I do? Well, what have I always done? I flip vendor recipes.
Oh,
so
yes.
So I actually went to my own videos to verse Stormwind. I'm like, okay,
you
where do I go
buy a guide
again?
For a few dollars.
Yeah, but what was I doing? And so I watched my own video and I followed it. I got all these vendor recipes. I downloaded TSM. I made a little group for it, and they were selling. Mm-hmm. I put them up for like 35 gold a piece. I made maybe 600 gold.
Oh, I've sold some of the vendor recipes for 200 gold on my 1 to 60 character as she was leveling without a mount till 40. She stopped by every vendor that she could see and check out what they had. So
yeah, that schematic for the blue firework in Stormwind sells really well.
Yeah, there's some in Eastern Plaguelands. There's a schematic available. Vendor there too.
Yeah, I was being really lazy, so I was only hitting the Stormwind ones. I was selling copper rods and stuff like that.
Yes, 25 gold. I've been selling copper rods, 25 gold. I did it. I set the group up as a to tell somebody how to do it. I'm like, we're just going to go to a vendor. Let's go buy some starwood and simple wood and some rods, and I built them. But I just kept putting them up, and they just kept selling because you can buy like a 200 stack. Of, you know, 200, you stack 200 of those, not copper rods, but 200 stack of woods. And yeah, they were selling for like 25 gold a pop.
Yep. So that's what I did to get my like starter couple hundred gold. And then I'm like, okay, so what is my other easy ways to make gold? Disenchanting. So I go to the auction house and I'm like, and with the expansion, and I was seeing everyone just trying to buy Arcana, which is the new dust for a lot of gold. So I'm like, how can I get Arcana? So I go to the auction house, and none of my, you know, add-ons are set up to really search for it. So I'm like, okay, I'm looking for armor that is at least uncommon with a minimum level of 101. Mm-hmm. And so I started buying out anything that was under the cost of one Arcana. And I don't know if this changed in Warlords of Draenor or Legion, but you don't even need to have, like, high-level enchanting to disenchant Prospect or Mill anymore. You just have to have the skill.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So I was on my level 60 character disenchanting Legion greens selling the disenchant mats.
Oh my
and
gosh.
Because it's still in that like really weird new expansion when no one knows what anything's worth, I was getting stuff that's worth a lot of gold for pretty cheap.
Yeah, my greens were like 35 gold when I went to sell them today. So
that's around what I'm seeing on my servers, like 30 to 40 gold for a green, and Arcana is going for 40 gold a piece.
Ooh, how many do you get from a disenchant?
I typically get one, but I've seen two, and Auctioneer says you can get
up to
three.
That's crazy that you don't. I would have not even thought to do that because I would have assumed. See, this is all of my old knowledge just like getting in the way. I would have assumed that I would need to level up my enchanter or something in order to do that.
Yeah. So I did that. Well, when I really originally bought it, I was just going to say, you know, I was going to go to a guild member and say, hey guys, I'm broke. Could you help me? And then I realized I could do it myself. But there is one thing I can't do myself, and that's a lay shatter. So the blue enchanting mat is a lay light crystal, and you shatter it and you get three arcana. So that's another way that I was making gold with disenchanting. So I was buying blues, which everyone's making for crafting or for to level their professions. And so I'd buy them for cheap and have them disenchant that. And so you can either sell the ley light shard, or if they shatter into three arcana. So if the ley light shards themselves, if they're selling for less than the cost of three arcana, just buy shards, shatter them, and sell the dust. So I was doing a lot of that as well. So that got me up to around 15,000 gold.
Oh my gosh.
And then I was like, well, this is all great and stuff, but I need more gold. Actually, no, what happened was I was leveling Fade a little bit in the meantime while I was waiting for auctions to sell, and I started doing her engineering quest, and she needed like 10 laystone ore. And so I went to the auction house, and I'm like, oh my god, this is so expensive, and I do not have the gold for this anymore. It's so weird not being able to just buy whatever I want. So, and to really have to worry about, you know, do I have this gold to spend? No, I don't. So I was, and I didn't have this gold. And I'm like, oh my gosh, why is it so expensive? I need a miner. And then I realized that my Miner and Herbalist were the same character, and I still had this 100 boost sitting around because I hadn't boosted Fade since I leveled her manually, so I decided to boost the Druid. And then I was like, okay, so what should I gather? And so I forget how I decided on the Fox Flower, because I didn't even really look at anything else, but I ended up finding out about that Fox Flower. Oh yeah, it was a really roundabout way. So you get these Bloods of Sargeras when you're disenchanting I don't think you get them with prospecting, but you get them with disenchanting and herbing and mining and stuff. And it's kind of funny, everyone who can get them on my account is doing nothing with them, like my level 60 rate. I have like a character locked at level 60. In Mr. Pandaria,
there was some of those, like, whatever the motive harmonies or whatever that some people, you're just like, I don't have any use for them.
My rogue is locked at 60 for vanilla rating purposes, and she's got all this like amazing level 60 gear and stuff like that, and she's just got like 20 Bloods of Sargeras now from disenchanting. But so I was like, well, what do I do with these? I have no idea what these are for. So I was looking them up, and then someone was like, oh, I get them from herbing fox flower, and then I saw the mention, and I have this really cool, and I really like doing it in the northern area, and so then I went down to check the northern area, and then I was like, wait, this is, let's expand this route a little bit and add a few more things into it, and thus I started mining and herbing in northern High Mountain. So, and then obviously the rest is history as far as making enough gold. So so I'm about to run out of my week. So I've been playing for a week now, and I've made a total of 210,000 gold, and that's while also leveling Fade. She's 108 now, and then I've been playing other characters, so, and well, a lot of that was through, like, 3 days I didn't have Legion yet.
Well, let me tell you what happened at our house when we got your video. about a month ago or so, I was talking to my wife, and she's like, oh, can you sell these items for me? And I'm like, sure. And then I'm like, you know what? Like, let's just teach you how to use Trade Skill Master. And if you have problems with the operations, I can help write those for you. So I got her Trade Skill Master plus all the requisite add-ons for that, plus the Endermine Journal, which is what I use for her to base prices on. And, you know, I go over and I set up basic operation for her. For me is 30% of the Endermine Journal global median. TUJ global median is the minimum. Normal is 120 of that, and max is 200% of the TUJ global median. Then there's two groups, one that sells individual items, so one by one with only one, so, you know, one item and one stack, and then the other one that does like a 20 stack of like 200. So like that's kind of, those are the two that she uses, and she sets up her groups and she puts her items in, and so she's good to go, like, for selling. And so she's been selling some stuff, and she's been making some gold. And then I watched your video, and I was like, hey, you know, Fade found this really cool route that she put together, and she's made like 140,000 gold in like a day, and, you know, the numbers, like, I'm surprised your, like, thumbnail doesn't say like 140,000 gold in one day. Like, you should probably get a lot more views if you did that on it. But so that's where I'm like, you know what, I'm like, and that's actually why I boosted my character. I'm like, you know what, I would love to do this, but it really only makes sense with a gatherer, which is funny because Warlords of Draenor kind of killed gathering, like, really bad, because you could go into your garrison and just mine all you wanted, so who needed miners? And you could have an herb garden, so who needed to have herbalists, you know? So, so I think my Death Knight, I think, was at one point my double gatherer, because she had water walking, and, you know, anyway, so, but I'm like, you know what, if I make a hunter, I said, this hunter was gonna have, skinning and leather working, but you know what? Like, forget that. I'm just going to get rid of that, because she was only like 60, 64. Get rid of that. I'm going to pick up mining and herbalism. I'm going to level it up, which apparently was useless, because my wife's gathering just fine with level like 40, level 40 herbalism. So she had a character that her hunter had skinning and herbalism, and or skinning and mining. I don't know, one or the other. But I'm like, she's like, I don't know, what about skin? I'm like, skinning? I'm like, I don't know, skinning. I said, the only problem with skinning, and she knew this because she checked the prices on mats, but like, skinning is kind of one of those things that I think a lot of leather workers have. So it kind of goes well together. So not that there's no market for skins, but for leather, but you know, she decided to drop skinning and just pick up. So this is the fun part, is that they made changes in the node gathering mechanics, where if you hit a node for like 5 seconds after anybody else that hits that node, I think it's up to 5 people that can hit that node, can also collect it too. So I boosted my hunter. I gave her herbalism and mining. I boosted her to 100, and then now we went to do what I call duo farming, which is actually really fun. Like, so you and the other person, you go around the route and you just mine together and herb together, and then you wait for, you know, when you get to the node, you wait for the other person and you hit them right around the same time. And we've gotten double foxes like 3 or 4 times, which is fun because there's just so many fox flowers everywhere, just like foxes running everywhere, 2 foxes running everywhere. And it's easier to kill mobs because you can kill them twice as fast. So we spent time doing that. I think we did stream it on Facebook and then on Twitch. We spent about 4 hours, and I think we each ended up pulling around 20 to 24,000 golden mats. And they've been selling. So, yay. Thanks, Fade.
it's interesting. Like, the more... while you were streaming last night, I whispered you, not because it was a secret, but because I wanted to link you an item for Demon Steel Spurs, because I just discovered them. And I was like, wait, this could make it more, like, more efficient. And, like, since then, I've realized a bunch of other stuff you could do. So, like, the Demon Steel Spurs allow you to mine an herb while mounted. Mm-hmm. There's something that leather workers make. I forget what the first word is, but the last word is barding. And that allows you to not get dazed, which means you won't get knocked off your mount. And then there's enchants to gloves. You can get them for mining or herbalism, and I presume you can get them for skinning as well, though it's not relevant in this spot. That speed you up. I haven't actually applied it to my gloves yet, but I presume it makes you kind of herb at the speed of a tauren.
Do you remember in Mist of Pandaria, there was an item, I think, that you, the gathering gloves.
Yeah, the gatherer's gloves or herbalist gloves. Mm-hmm. Yep. So it's basically those, but it's an enchant you can put on the gloves you have. Unfortunately, you can only, you have to choose the profession. You can't have both. Oh. But I bought a scroll for mining, I think was the one I decided.
Yeah, that would probably make more sense because you, every once in a while, Crocolis guy will pop out, but you want to wait for a little while to see if the fox pops out, if you're at least doing the fox flower, so you don't really, like, making it faster isn't really,
you know. Yeah, and I mean, like, as a druid, it's like I can herb in travel form, so, so that's the other reason I went for that. But basically, I'm discovering, this is kind of one of those kind of things I was talking about, that I'm so lost compared to what I would have been had I been playing all along, because I would have been, you know, researching this, I would have already been 110 for, like, 4 days by now. It's like, there's so much out there that I don't yet understand.
I kind of like this new fade, it's kind of more relaxed fade, you know?
Yeah. And I'm trying to make sure I stay that way instead of being like, nope, I'm going to play 20 hours a day so I can catch up. And it's kind of an interesting thing because it's also, as I think, I don't think we were on the doing the podcast yet, but I mentioned to you that when I started that video and I said, I made this much gold, I'm like, is that a lot of gold anymore? I don't even know. How much gold does everyone have? Am I super broke? Is this laughable to most people? So it's basically, there's so much, like, I've completely lost my bearings. I don't know how much inflation has affected things. I didn't know about all these different enchants and items. And so it's been an interesting way to try to, okay, I want to help other people make gold, but I need someone to help me because I don't know what to do anymore.
Yeah, so, I don't know if I should feel proud of what I'm doing or not.
Yeah, pretty much. And then we were talking about the Blood of Sar. You asked me last night, why are people buying these herbs so much? And I said, I think you can obliterate them. And then we were like, I was like, and you're like, what's that? And I'm like, I think this is how it works. And someone else in the chat confirmed it. Explaining it to us. But yeah, so it's like a lot of it is just, it's kind of an interesting, I feel almost like a brand new gold maker, because in a sense I am. It's like, you know, I can recognize that things are selling, but I don't know why. So I feel like I'm not being as efficient as I could be. I'm not getting the most I can, but I'm still getting enough. I mean, I can more than enough. Like, it's, I listened to your most recent episode about, like, kind of thinking of gold as game time now. And I like, as I was listening to that, I was nodding along because I was still in the middle of the, okay, I got to make 35,000 gold in this week. And that's really kind of how I think about it. It's like, hey, as long as I can make 35,000 gold a week and pay, you know, my various quest needs, then it's all good. So
by 4 months of game time, yeah.
But gold make, but as a gold maker, I can't ever not be a gold maker. I'm always going to be looking for more ways.
Yeah. I think that Warlords of Draenor was a really big mistake. Like, garrisons kind of like ruined gold making for, I think. I mean, I don't want to say ruined, because I know there's, you know, gold makers can always learn new ways to do it and but I feel like now we're kind of getting back to a little bit more to the Cataclysm kind of slash Warlords, or sorry, Wrath a little bit, but Cataclysm a little bit, like a little bit more, they kind of took out a lot of those short circuits that were in from garrisons.
I would actually compare it really closely to Mists of Pandaria, actually, because, you know, your professions are gated by things like having to be at least level 100 going through that quest. Yeah. And then you've got a lot of your patterns are quest specific.
Yes.
So, or world drop. And so you can't, unlike in, I don't remember Cataclysm very well. I remember I was server first for both of my professions, but,
lots of ore shuffling, lots of ore shuffling.
So, but as far as, like, the beginning of the expansion and how accessible, like, recipes and stuff were, I felt like they were pretty accessible. That's what that's the one thing that, just from a gold-making perspective, not a general mechanics, but from a gold-making perspective, I've really been frustrated about the fact that even the characters I boost to level 100, the scribe, so I boosted my scribe and alchemist. So I've got him to Dalaran, and I bought a bunch of techniques for glyphs. I learned my few healing potions, or my special little potions, and I'm like, okay, if alchemy is the way it used to be, then I'll just make a bunch of potions and I'll discover my transmutations. Nope. Transmutations, like, require quests. And I'm like, I'm a terrible elemental shaman. And it's like, and then there are other things that it's like, oh, you can do this, but you have to be level 104 to unlock this quest. And you have to go through this quest chain, and as in Stormheim, to get this glyph. And so I feel like it's, they really are trying to reward people for, you know, the professions that are on their main and only their main. And yeah, that's even true of the gathering, with the way that they do the ranks. It's like, if you gather just really, like, casually, you won't gather as efficiently as someone who gathers a lot, because you won't get those rank ups. And also, like I said, I got all these glyph techniques, and I'm like, all right, finally, something to do with all this fox flower, other than just sell it raw. Mill. Oh my god, sallow pigment? So rare. Like, I think I have, it's like 600 of the roseate pigment, and I got 12 sallow pigment. Guess how many sallow pigment I need to make a glyph?
I don't know.
10. So I milled like 200 fox flower. You're like
rank one of milling or something?
No, that's just how much that's how much they require. Wow. And so it's like I had to mill like 200 fox flower to make one glyph, and the glyphs are all what's it called? Vanity items now. They don't have any, you know, mechanical need, which I guess is why they feel like they can get away with making the materials for them so rare. But it's like, from a, just from an inscription perspective, keep in mind that I, you know, inscription was my baby for a long time. Like, I feel like they really, they screwed up with scribes, I think. They really, I mean, I know that they have these, like, Vantus runes that are going to, it's something scribes can make that will allow them to, That someone can use to get extra damage or something on a raid boss, but the raids aren't open yet and the materials are expensive. So even that, it's like, and if you're on a server that doesn't have really like good raid progression, that people wouldn't care about spending a lot of gold on that, then why bother? There's these items that, you know, Codex of the Tranquil Mind, that you'll be able to change your spec, but why would people buy that?
And everybody got five of them when they started.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, and all you have to do is, you can do it for free in town, so people would just hearth. And then be summoned back. It's like, there's it's all completely bizarre. Mm-hmm. And then they've also got this item that is kind of like a mysterious fortune card. Mm-hmm. But I think you can only use it once a week. And by that, I mean the person who buys it, not the person who makes it. But it's gated behind a quest in Stormheim. So you can't just go get it and make it. So, like, I boosted this scribe and this scribe alchemist, thinking, all right, finally a use for all these herbs. And I'm like, oh, I hope someone buys this pigment from me, because I sure as hell ain't gonna use this. it was pretty brutal for like alt professions. Mm-hmm. So that's my complaint about like profession based gold making. And then Fade is of course a blacksmith and an engineer, mm-hmm. and a lot of the stuff that she's been doing, it's like I've been more excited to learn Warlords of Draenor patterns, because they're easy to learn with my garrison, uh-huh. and they're easy to like make the items with my garrison, because mm-hmm. I get free gearsmith credits and I get pets and cool transmog gear and stuff, versus the stuff that I'm learning for Legion. It's like, well, this will cost me, you know, 20,000 gold in materials. Awesome. Great. Wonderful. And probably people aren't going to buy it. So, great. Then cooking. I don't know if you've done much with cooking, nope. but they gated all of that behind basically garrison work orders through Nomi. Mm. So, like, yeah, it's ridiculous. And he, okay, so I don't, so basically, minor cooking spoiler alert, I guess, if you will. But Nomi, the little Pandaren that you trained in Mists of Pandaria, is now a cook in Dalaran. Mm. He's an adult now. Mm-hmm. And he does research for you to try and teach you new recipes via work orders, and you have to bring him a bunch of materials to do it. So like fish right now, if you like to fish, now is a good time, because you can sell those fish for a lot. Mm-hmm. But he screws them all up. Like, I've given him all of these work orders, and he all keeps turning back gray. It's called badly burnt food. And I'm like, I trained you. I trained you in Mists of Pandaria for years.
You didn't do a very good job.
Burn everything I give you. You are the worst cook in the world.
Here's more maps.
Yeah. So that's a little bit frustrating.
Hmm. Well, I think we should probably wrap it up here, Fade. I don't want to keep you too long. The last thing I just wanted to talk about was the episode 100. That's pretty cool. I'm pretty happy about that. The Power Word Gold podcast episode 100. If you're new to the podcast, welcome. Feel free to go back and look through old episodes. There's all sorts of things in there, but it's a pretty big milestone, because I don't know. There's... If you go back and I was going back and looking through before, and the first episode was in like the beginning of 2011. So the podcast has been, you know, with some breaks here and there, has been, you know, going on for over 5.5 years.
We've known each other a long time.
I know. I was thinking about that today as I was looking through, you know, and I was going back through old blog posts, and you know, I mentioned you and Gold Queen, and you know, some of the others that were right there at the beginning of our little kind of group of people that were, you guys were already kind of going, but I'm, you know, yeah, it's crazy. I don't know, what do you think about the fact that we've known each other for 5.5 years?
I think it really speaks to the power of a game like World of Warcraft. I mean, the people, not only the guild member, you know, people you know in your guild and on your server, but people you meet just through a mutual love of the game or a part of the game, like gold making. And here we are still like talking about our lives 5 years later, despite having been gone from the game for so long. There's still something that brings us, like, you know, that brings people back together and talks. Like, I mean, it's kind of like, I was thinking, it's kind of similar to going to like a high school reunion. It's like, you may not mm-hmm. have seen each other for a long time, mm-hmm. but when an expansion comes out, a lot of mm-hmm. people just kind of come out, and it's like seeing old family again.
Yeah.
So yeah. It's, I think WoW is a really powerful force in that way, and mm-hmm. I really think it's a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was quite uncertain what happened a year ago, I guess, was that I kind of came back for just a little bit, did a podcast and talked about it. And I even could tell, like, from 88 to 89, like, sorry, 98 to 90, 97 to 98, episode of the podcast that, like, I'd kind of lost my interest in within just, like, a month. And so I was kind of uncertain this time around, like, would the same thing happen? Would I come back in, get interested for, like, a couple months, and then say, oh, I'm back, everybody, and then, oh, by the way, sorry, no more podcasts for the next year. And there is a few differences this time around than, say, in the past. Like, I'm not trying to make money off of the blog like I was for a couple years back in the day when I needed the money worse than I do now. So that's allowed me to kind of, you know, but even though I'm not worried about them making the money, I still want to have motivation, and I never really want to do a show or a podcast or anything or write when, like, my heart's not in it, or I'm not actually trying to help people with gold making. So that's why, like, the warning ahead of time on this episode where, like, there's going to be some gold making, but a lot of talking about the expansion. But, yeah, I think that, you know, you coming back has been good, I think. I've loved having you on this episode. You were always, like I said, you've always been one of the favorite guests that I've had on the podcast, and one of my favorite gold makers.
And, I mean, other than the YouTube channel, I mean, since I'm not writing the blog, I won't really have a lot of outlets. Mm-hmm. So presuming that I stick around in the game, which, like I said, I'm still really on the fence about because mm-hmm. of, like, real life concerns yeah. and stuff. And so we'll see how that develops over the next few weeks with my job interviews and which mm-hmm. one I actually choose to take and stuff like that. But bottom line is, like, presuming I stick around, I'd be more than happy to be around more often if people yeah. want that as I relearn how to make gold.
And if you ever get the itch to write and you don't want to have to put it up anywhere, you can always write a guest post and we can have it on Power Word Gold, because I'm sure people would like to have that content. So we've had other guest posts in the past. I essentially... Things are going good. Me and my wife are having a good time playing, which is nice. I think, you know, there's been times in the past where one of us or the other person played more than the other person or wasn't really interested in playing, but the fact that we're both playing together is good. And, yeah, I think that's going to wrap it up. Do you want to say anything else right here at the end, Fade?
Not particularly. Legion's great. If you're someone who's listening to this and you haven't played in a while either, I think that this is a great time to come back. It's been a lot of fun, and I've seen a lot of friends come back, and you should too if you're considering it.
All right. Well, thanks again, Fade, for coming out. If you guys want to follow her on Twitter, she is Go Clockwork Riot, and you can also find her YouTube channel there. Go check out her video on gathering up.
Oh. I'll say this, though, by the time this comes out, it probably will have been out already. But in that video, I'm like, I'll talk about what I do with the ore mm-hmm. on my video tomorrow. And then if you've been watching me on Twitter, I was not able to log into my characters like all morning because of technical issues. Uh-huh. So tomorrow you'll be finding out the secret second part of what I do with the ore. Spoiler alert, I prospect it. But there's something more to know about that. So.
Okay. Good, good. Awesome. So I'll look forward to that. And, if you want to find my blog, it's at powerwordgold.net. And then there's links there for Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube, which are all Power Word Gold. And Twitch is Jim Youngkin, so that's slightly different. And we had on our Twitch stream, we had, and our Facebook stream, so follow us on Facebook too, but... We had me and my wife both on the mic, which was kind of fun. So we might have to do some more of those joint videos.
And the baby. And the baby was also on the mic.
Yes. The baby was on the mic. She is in the wanting to take off her clothes and run around naked phase, which is fine as long as
it's only on the mic then. Yeah. Let's not turn on any webcams. So. It's going to become a very weird podcast.
So, all right. Well, thanks a lot, Fade, and thanks everybody for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. Thanks.
See you guys.
Bye-bye.
Ah, se ela soubesse que quando ela passa, o mundo sorrindo se enche de graça e fica mais lindo por causa do amor.
Tall and thin and young and lovely, the girl from Ipanema goes walking and